fireworks.
Here's a swing and a long one to left.
Gone, gone, gone.
Let's begin now.
This is White Sox Weekly.
Got him swinging. Sox win.
The Chicago baseball conversation on the flagship home of the Sox. 720 WGN.
Light it up.
Woo! A triumphant return to the radio for White Sox Weekly. Let me lower that music. I got you, Ben Anderson, in for Curtis Koch today. Hope you're having a great Saturday afternoon. Hope you're fired up for some baseball. My name is Mark Carmen, and yes, I can look at the White Sox schedule, and I can see that they're having an intra-squad game that starts tonight at 6, and I can see that they are playing the Cubs at Wrigley Field tomorrow, and then they're back at Guaranteed Rate Field against the Cubs on Monday. One more summer league or summer camp game, let's call it that, against the Brewers on Wednesday, and then, yes, indeed, the season actually gets going this coming Friday night versus the Minnesota Twins, a three-game series against the Twins at Guaranteed Rate Field. I feel like I could just go through the entire schedule right now. I'm feeling a little excitement for baseball. 312-981-7200. What are you most excited about to A, have the game back, and B, about this year's 2020 White Sox? 312-981-7200. Scott Merkin is coming up, MLB.com. As, of course, Merck entering, I think it's season, I want to say 23 for Merck. I'll find that out. But Merck doing a great job. And we'll see what he thinks the White Sox opening day roster is going to look like. And he's been out watching all of these workouts, so we'll get a feel for what's been going on. Andy Mazur, of course, is going to be alongside Darren Jackson in the radio booth this year. Will join us at 5:30. And then in the 6 o'clock hour today, we will start it off with Dylan Cease at 6:05, and then Steve Cishek, White Sox new reliever, will join me at 6:30. I actually want to start with Dylan Cease because he had a huge performance as far as summer camp games go that are intra-squad that don't go in the record books. A big-time performance Thursday night at Guaranteed Rate Field. Cease striking out 8 batters, okay? Now, and we're going to hear from Dylan coming up, as I mentioned. But here's a guy who, a lot of hype, but did not have a great year last year. And that's not exactly uncommon for first-year starters. 14 starts last year at an ERA of 5.79. And if you watched Dylan Cease last year, it was almost at times, I think the word is painful, because he'd look great, but then he'd be struggling to find the strike zone. And it was just a battle to get through 5 innings. But he looked phenomenal the other night. If you watch the highlights as I did, you're like, whoa, that is some serious nasty stuff. And C saying, like, sometimes I don't have my nasty breaking balls, or if I do, I'm bouncing them. Quote, yesterday it was a combination of having the A stuff and the A command. I've done it before, but nothing as consistent as that. I'm looking to take that into the season. And as far as those breaking ball dynamics, actually, let's hear from Dylan himself on that old breaking ball, because if he's got that along with the fastball, American League, National League, whoever the White Sox are playing, it's going to be a problem.
I think last night I did it more consistently with my high-end stuff, whereas sometimes, you know, I don't have, like, my nasty breaking balls, or if I do, I'm bouncing them. Yesterday it was, like, the combination of having the A stuff and the A command. I've done it before, but nothing as consistent as that. So I'm looking to take that into the season.
So that sounds like he's touched a new level, that he's been working incredibly hard, that his confidence is moving up, and that he found something on Thursday night that he's going to try to duplicate. And you look at where he fits into this rotation. You've got Giolito, even though we're still waiting on our opening day start here, but we got Giolito at the top, veteran Dallas Keuchel. Then you've got Dylan Cease, Ronaldo Lopez. A lot of people think that Ronaldo is going to have a huge bounce back year and pitch more like he did in the second half last season, or if we want to go all the way back to 2018, that this is going to be a big year for Lopey, as Ricky Renteria likes to call him, and his teammates. Veteran Gio Gonzalez, who's really at this point your 6th starter, and then there's Carlos Rodon, who I'll get to in a second. Rodon wants to be in that rotation. So you got six starters. Hey, Dylan, what do you see in that pitching staff?
To me, it's very promising. You watch Dallas, and it's just effortless, you know, fastballs down the zone, nasty changeups. Obviously, Gio's got good stuff, and he's 7 feet tall, so he's nasty. So, and you got Ronaldo, who sits 96 or 97. So we've got, I think we've got potential if we all pitch like we can to do something special.
Yeah, there's a lot of depth going on right here. A lot of depth. And that does not include Michael Kopech, who opted out this season and hopefully will be back in 2021 and be the Michael Kopech that the White Sox envisioned when they traded for him. Speaking of that trade, by the way, good to see Yoan Moncada back with the club after testing positive for COVID-19, back on the field, working out. Looks like he's good to go. Let me get one more from Dylan, and again, we'll hear from him, just myself and Dylan talking, coming up at 6:05. But they've got White Sox, you know, invested big in Yasmani Grandal to play catcher, be a leader. He'll DH some, maybe even play some first base. But this is a new guy for Dylan to be working with. How's Yasmani helping him?
At the very least, you know, those low pitches that he ends up getting strikes for is huge. I haven't gotten to work with him a whole lot in game situations, so I'll probably have a way better answer for that at the end of the year. But I think at the very least, just his framing and his pitch callings is huge.
Early going, doesn't know him super well, but likes his framing. I'll take that, along with James McCann, who's been an incredible leader from the White Sox last year and really through this whole time, spring training, time off, and getting guys, I think, on the same page as how they're approaching the season. James McCann's really been a huge gift in that White Sox clubhouse. Hey, let's take a quick timeout. Come on back here. Scott Merkin coming up from MLB.com. We will preview the season with Merk next. It's White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN.
At the wall, the 380, gone. A three-run homer for Tim Anderson. 3-1 White Sox.
Back to White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.
About to talk to Scott Merkin, MLB.com. But first, just a reminder, White Sox charity Sox Care Raffle is back by popular demand. It starts July the 24th. You can enter to win a White Sox-themed Mazda CX-30. That's courtesy of Mazda of Orland Park. New this season, this car was designed by a White Sox fan. How sweet is that? Visit whitesox.com/soxcar for more information. Valid for Illinois residents only. I think Merk actually might be in line for a new car. Aren't you, Scott Merkin? You wouldn't.
I probably could use one at this point. Yeah, there's no question about it.
Me too.
Although here's the weird thing. My car is 18 years old, but it's only got 69,000 miles on it. So it's kind of tough to commit to a new car when you don't drive the old one that much.
That is a city dweller right there. And Merk, your car, yes, is, it's like whenever I see it at guaranteed rate feel, I got to tell you, I feel like I'm at home. So I actually don't want you to get
Well, I'm glad. I need to bring it in tomorrow to get the check engine light looked at, but hopefully that won't cost too much, or it may be time for a new car.
Yeah, these things happen. They don't last forever. So we got an inter-squad game tonight, Merk, and then the Cubs on the north side on Sunday and back at guaranteed rate field on Monday, and the Brewers, and then the Twins. It's finally here. What are you, as far as just being out at guaranteed rate and watching what's been going on, what has been, I guess, the most impressive thing for you so far that excites you about the 2020 White Sox?
Well, I think two things. You know, Luis Robert looks like the real deal. You know, Luis Robert looks like he has the makings of a superstar. Now, as I say that before, you know, I get accused of reading too much into the crystal ball or drinking the Kool-Aid. I understand he has not seen one single pitch of a regular season game yet. You know, he has literally not played a regular season game or been on the field for a regular season game. So let's let him, you know, go through a season or go through a couple months before we commission the statue for him outside guaranteed rate field. But just watching him, you can see how talented that kid is. You can see how he does everything so well. You know, I mean, I had someone today refer to him defensively as Kelly Leak, because he covers so much ground. If for those old Bad News Bears fans, by the way, because he covers so much ground in the outfield that it seems like he's running from like line to line. And I think part of it is he's that good, part of it is he's that athletic, and part of it is he's just that excited to be ready to play. And the other thing I'll say is, you know, good Lord, no one wanted this coronavirus pandemic to take place. It's horrible. People have lost their lives, their livelihoods. It's just a terrible situation. But this break if you just look at it purely 100% from baseball, when we're talking about this, certainly has benefited the Sox. You know, Edwin Encarnacion would not have been 100% most likely at the start of the season back in March, nor would have Gio Gonzalez. Carlos Rodon, Jimmy Lambert,
right,
and Dane Dunning. Jimmy Kimmel would not have been available no matter what the season was, but they would not have been ready. And I think Nick Madrigal, we talked to him just now on a Zoom call, just watching him play, he's a different guy out there. So I think, you know, they're in a better place. Obviously, they would have loved to have been in a lesser place at the start of the season and not had anything to do with this horrible pandemic. But since it has played out and since we are standing here now, they're in a pretty good position with, you know, Friday's opener coming up against the defending AL Central champs.
All right, you teed up a lot there. Let's start with Madrigal. Should I be reading into, or should White Sox fans be reading into anything that he's on a Zoom call today and Merck's talking about him? Do you anticipate he's going to start the season with them?
Oh, I don't know about that. You know, Ricky wouldn't go into the full. I mean, they're going to have to make a decision soon, right? I mean, the next couple of days, unless they're just going to, you know, do like a bachelor ceremony on, or bachelorette ceremony on Friday and give the people who are staying a rose to stay and then go with the game that Friday. And I don't think that's happening, actually. But, you know, I think, put it this way, I think Nick Madrigal will be helping this team in far more games than he won't be this year. So if he's not up at the start of the season, it will be very shortly thereafter that he will be the second baseman for the White Sox. And, you know, I mean, Leury Garcia, and having Leury Garcia and Danny Mendick is a great asset for this team because they both cover pretty much everything out there. You know, you may not need a fifth outfielder, especially with Adam Engel's great defensive capabilities, when you have Mendick and Leury, because they can both play the outfield too. So, you know, even if it starts off where Leury is the starting second baseman, I do believe Nick Madrigal is going to be, you know, contributing soon at the big league level. And I think he's a good player for that lineup. You know, I mean, not everyone in that lineup has to be a 30 home run, 90 to 100 RBI guy. You know, I think he does so many intangible things. Like, he's a great defensive player. You watch him, you know, our press box is a perfect view, especially with no fans in front of us, unfortunately, you know, down the first base line, and he really gets after it. He can fly. You know, he probably is not too far behind Luis Robert, who might be the fastest guy, or Adam Engel, I guess, would be up there too. But, you know, good defensive player, and, you know, is a great contact guy. You know, can do a lot of things in the bat, and I think will hit well. You know, almost gives you like a second leadoff man if you put him in the number nine spot. So I don't know. I won't guarantee for sure. You know, he wants to make it. He said he wants to. He's never wanted anything more in his life. He really believes he deserves to be there. But he also gets it's not in his hands. You know, kind of cliche, but he understands that, you know, it's not his choice to be up there. So if he's not on Friday, it won't be long before he is, I believe.
All right, let's switch over to the rotation, and I think that makes a whole lot of sense. You're gonna see Nick Madrigal play baseball with the White Sox this season. Keeping those guys ready, though, you know, if they're not playing, that seems like a, you know, at least a drop of a challenge in the current situation that they're in. But here, let's go to the rotation.
Right,
Lucas, you think he's going to start opening day? Right,
I don't even want to make a joke about it or like a weird bet. I would say 99.8% Lucas Giolito is taking the mound against Jose Barrios Friday night at Guaranteed Rate Field. That would be, and I think just as certain Dallas Keuchel is going game two on, I think this is a Saturday day game, I think. Whatever the time is Saturday, I don't remember, but I think Dallas Keuchel is going game two. Then I'm not as certain how 3-4-5 would break down. I would have to guess right now, probably Cease, Rodon, Lopez, Rodon, Cease, something in that order, with, you know, Gio Gonzalez right there. And, you know, Dane Dunning and Jimmy Lambert have both done a nice job in camp and can be, you know, a key, like, swing guy. I talked to Dane Dunning about a week ago where he said, you know, he's ready to do whatever. I understand that his future, the Sox see, is more as a starter, but he, you know, pitched in relief in Florida, and he can do that now. And, you know, Ross Detweiler pitched a lot for the Sox last year, and he's in the mix, too. You know, they do have a little bit of a 40-man crunch. I think they're at 39 right now. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, everyone who plays on the 30-man roster to open Friday has to be on the 40-man. So you'll have to do a little juggling there. But, you know, there are certainly some options. But that's what would be my guess at the starting rotation right now.
So you think that Gio's going to be the odd man out here and they're going to go with five? Or do you think they'll go with six and maybe split starters? It's a huge luxury, either any way they slice it. But and by the way, Michael Kopech's not with the team, so that there's even more depth if you look to the future as we add in Dane Dunning and Jimmy Lambert. White Sox are getting awful healthy in the rotation, which is sweet. But is that your guess that Gio will start in the bullpen?
Well, here's the argument. You know, I think you could go six at the start, maybe not, you know, maybe one time through or even two times through. But, you know, it's not like two times through is already, what, one-fifth of the season, right?
Yep.
If you do six starters, that's 12 starts, and it's a 60-game season. So, you know, I think the argument is you have six quality starters, and that's not even counting Dunning and Lambert, who are younger and less experienced. But the other argument is you want Giolito and Keuchel to make as many starts as possible. But then again, with what Cease has looked like, again, in inner squad, and Lopez has been good too, and Gonzalez pitched well yesterday, you have some good options. So I'm not completely sure what they're going to do, but it's a great option to have, right? Like you said, you can save the bullpen where maybe one day or 2 days it is a combined starting situation. You know, hypothetically, maybe it's Rodon and Dunning and then, you know, Cease and Gonzalez or something like that. No one knows. You know, just hypothetically throwing out there. But it's certainly a great luxury to have, and I would, barring some sort of unexpected injury or something completely unexpected in general, I would say this team is breaking camp with six starters. And then I would count, you know, if they took Dunning or Lambert or Detweiler, that wouldn't really be a starter, but someone who could do that if they needed it also.
Scott Merkin, MLB.com, as we're taking a look at the rotation. Let's switch over to third base, and Yoan Moncada back from testing positive from COVID-19. Word on the street is he looks okay, Merk. What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, that's what, you know, we haven't seen the workouts, but Ricky, once again, said today he's looking good, he's responding well, and he said it would not be out of the question that he was part of one of these three exhibition games, you know, either one of the two against the Cubs or Wednesday against the Brewers at home. I would say they're viewing Moncada kind of like Rick Hahn has talked about this season in the big picture of the rebuild going into contention. You know, the Sox want to do well this year. They would love to win it all. They would love to win the division and, you know, go from there. But they're not sacrificing this year to hurt what they believe is a 5-6-7 year run of contention. Moncada, they would love to have in the lineup opening day. He might be their best all-around player in that lineup. But they aren't going to push him for Friday just to say he's there for opening day if maybe, you know, missing the first series will make sure that he's 100% ready to, you know, to go the distance in this season. So I think that's where they're kind of, I think that, you know, that he's a, as Ricky pointed out, he's a young, healthy guy, which on the flip side shows you how scary this horrible thing is, that a guy like Moncada, who's in, you know, peak physical condition, what is he, 24, 25, and this still hit him, you know, and he said, you know, he did feel some symptoms of it. He lost his sense of taste and smell for a couple of days. So, you know, everyone, you can't stress enough, you got to be careful out there. But being a young guy, being in great shape, being a professional athlete, it will probably help his recuperative power. So I wouldn't bet against him for opening day, but I also would not bet against Ricky being very careful in terms of looking at the big picture of 60 games as opposed to just having him there one day to make sure he, you know, he starts with everyone else.
Yeah, just a little reminder out there to everybody. It's sweet that he's back on the field, but losing your taste and smell, that's just not something that I think any of us want, let alone the way worse things that are happening. And yes, he's, I had to look it up for the record here, just to be full transparency, but he is 25, born May 27, 1995, Yoan Moncada. All right, Merk, I'm up against the clock here. I got Andy Mazur coming up here, but let's just wrap it with this. It seems to me like sort of what you just said, which I have been saying, this year to me feels like a no-lose. If they shock it, and shock's probably too strong. If they are in playoff contention and go to the playoffs, everyone's going to say, well, wow, the White Sox are really ahead of schedule. And if not,
right,
it's like, well, it's an odd 60-game season. The future's incredibly bright. You just want to get through this with no major injuries and see progress from your key guys. And if it ends up with a lot of winning, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, I think we're all trying to get through this year in general, right? And then just hope for bigger and better things either at the end of the year or 2021. So I think the Sox, the same thing. I think short of them going like 20-40 or worse, anything on the table is a step forward. And if it ends up being 32-28, even if you get in a wild card game, and even if you only go the one game, well, that's a great step into what, you know, you hope is a bigger picture 162-game season and the beginning of your true contention drive in 2021. But I think, you know, short of a complete flop, which I don't expect to happen, this should be, you know, a good season for the White Sox.
Now let's just put it on the record here on July, whatever it is right now. How many wins, Merk?
I'll say 33.
33
and 27.
All right, we're going to redo this at the end of the season, see how you're, if you were right, 33 and 27.
All right, sounds good.
Merk, thanks a lot. Always appreciate it.
Okay, Mark, take care of yourself.
Scott Merkin, MLB.com. Let's catch up with Andy Mazur next, 720 WGN.
Wow, what a play!
720
WGN, the team's flagship radio station.
You're listening to White Sox Weekly on the home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
White Sox Weekly, indeed. Intra-squad game tonight. Cubs and White Sox at Wrigley on Sunday night. And then back at Guaranteed Rate Field on Monday. A little summer camp, if you will. Andy Mazur, White Sox play-by-play voice on your WGN radio, joining me now on White Sox Weekly. Andy, you getting excited?
Carm, I'm ready to go. I've been rehearsing and scripting all my ad-libs, ready to go for tomorrow.
It's pretty cool, though, right? A little nobody in the ballpark, you versus, I think there's a guy by the name of Pat Hughes over there. I don't know if they're doing the game or not, but it's certainly not going to have a playoff feel to it, but it'll be different than an intra-squad game tomorrow, that's for sure.
Yeah, it'll be different, too, because these guys are going to play each other again in the regular season, and it'll mean something at that point, and two straight games against the Cubs, one at Wrigley tomorrow and then one at Guaranteed Rate Field coming up on Monday. And the weirdest part about the whole thing is that DJ and I are going to be in the Guaranteed Rate booth tomorrow to do the game at Wrigley, and we'll be back there again on Monday. As a matter of fact, that is going to be our permanent home for the 2020 baseball season.
Yeah, I somehow forgot about that for a second, that you're not traveling even across town. So you and DJ, who's bringing dinner tomorrow night, Andy?
Well, we're taking volunteers, so if that's you with your hand up in the corner there, we'll call on you.
I'm worried about my media brethren. Is food going to be prepared? Because you're used to having dinner delivered over there. Maybe that you might have to pack a lunch this year. I don't know. But all right, hey, let's get to things that our listeners care about here. Andy, you've been out at Guaranteed. You've watched a bunch of the workouts. What's impressed you the most? I asked Merck the same question. Let's get your answer.
You know, it's just kind of the way they're going about things. I mean, because you would think after the layoff that they've had, the last couple of weeks here of summer camp, you know, you'd be ready to start facing other teams. But they've been getting work in, and it's interesting to watch how they've done it. I mean, they've done it a little shorthanded without Moncada until he came back the other day. And it's obviously given some other guys a little opportunity to get in there. Andrew Vaughn's been really impressive. I mean, this kid is a professional hitter at his young age, being able to get up there against a quality left-hander like Gio Gonzalez in the scrimmage game the other day and take him out to right field. I mean, the kid's got some pop. I mean, I'm not so sure we'll see a lot of him, if any of him, this year, but it certainly bodes well for what the future is. And, I mean, I've been really, really impressed with Luis Robert, not just at the bat. I mean, people are going to talk about his plate appearances and the fact that he's got all that pop. But watching him play the center field area out there is fun to watch, because he gets excellent jumps, and this guy knows how to play the outfield.
I mean, that's literally everyone that comes on the radio or even goes to Twitter feels compelled to say something about Luis Robert. So, I mean, I guess I have to see it in the regular season to truly believe it, and not just on his Instagram account or talking to you right now or whoever else. But I'd say there's overwhelming evidence that the White Sox have a good one here in Luis Robert. I'm expecting another step forward for the left fielder as well. I mean, I think Eloy is sort of understated in his 30 bombs last year. I mean, that's not nothing for a rookie. Are you expecting the same?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I mean, if you can believe it, he looks even more confident than he was last year. And even through the struggles in the beginning part of the season last year, I don't think that Eloy ever lost confidence in himself, but at the same time, he comes in there a year older, and, you know, it doesn't sound like a whole much, but, you know, you've got the guy that he understands what's expected of him more now. He knows the guys that are around him a little bit more now, and he's always got that infectious smile and personality about him. The other thing is, watch how he plays a little bit of the outfield, because he's really been working hard at it. He made a couple of nice plays the other day, and again, we're talking about scrimmage games, I get that. But, you know, you like to see at least the moves and the instincts that are starting to develop a little bit for him out there. Now, look, he's not going to have to cover nearly as much ground as he ever had to before, because Robert's going to be one of those guys that's going to range over to the left center and make a lot of plays. So, you know, Eloy just has to be serviceable or better over there in the outfield to kind of make his worth out there. But at the plate, I'm expecting big things. I mean, I think he said he figured something out toward the end of last year that he hopes to carry into this year. Frank Menachino and he have been working pretty hard also to kind of smooth out some of the wrinkles. But, you know, Eloy's, that lineup is long and lean right now.
What do you think the strength is of the White Sox in 2020, Andy?
You know, right now I would have to say that it's their offense. I mean, I think that the fact that that lineup gained Edwin Encarnacion and also gained the guys like Nomar Mazara and others of that ilk. I mean, these guys they know what they're doing. I mean, these are professional-type hitters that you're putting into a lineup that now features Yasmani Grandal and the guys like Abreu who have been there before. And Moncada, who knows what he's going to do again this year? And Tim Anderson. I mean, the list goes on and on. These are serviceable, better than serviceable. These are formidable kind of people that you have in your lineup right now that you haven't over the last few years.
And the reason I asked that brilliant question, White Sox Weekly, Mark Harmon, your host, right here. Well, it's because yes, that's probably a fair answer. That's the lineup. But if you look at the rotation. Listen, I'm confident that Lucas is going to be what he was last year, if not take a further step forward. You didn't have Dallas Keuchel last year. Dylan Cease, I'd bet a lot of money that he's going to be better. I think that Ronaldo Lopez is going to be better. You've got Rodon coming back. You've got Gonzalez sitting there. And then you've got young guys like Dunning and Lambert. The rotation should be a zillion times better than it was last year, I would imagine.
Aren't these great, great problems to have? I mean, these are the kind of things that that Rick Hahn was talking about when the rebuild started. And then even now, after, you know, the post-rebuild kind of a situation at this point. But these are the kind of things you want to have. I mean, you want to have those competitions among your own players to make them better, make each one of them better. And I completely agree with you about the rotation as well. But, you know, for consistency's sake, you know, you look to Dylan Cease. I think Dylan Cease might be the key to that whole rotation at this point. And I really liked what I saw from him when we were in Arizona, figuring out the cut on that fastball a little bit and also being able to kind of command things a little bit more. I know in the back of his mind he's worrying about pitch economy and pitch efficiency because, you know, a lot of times last year he'd give up 40 pitches in the first inning and that would mean a five-inning start. And he was getting stronger as the game was going on. So I think he wants to, you know, work his way through those innings a little bit better and to stick around a little further in a game because he's got that stuff. I mean, he's got electric stuff. And, you know, the other X factor to me, Carm, is Lopez. I mean, we've seen great. We've seen not so great. We've seen kind of in between. You know, this is another year within the system and another year working with Don Cooper and Ricky Renteria and now working with a guy like Yasmani Grandal. You know, you would expect some big things from him, too.
Last one, Andy Mazur on his way to a power dinner here coming up. I think it's a big day in the Mazur household. There's a rumor, by the way, there's a four-legged friend that's a new acquisition by Andy playing GM over there. You can speak to that if you'd like, but of course that's your personal life and you don't have to share anything, even though I just brought it up. What level of confidence do you have in the bullpen? Because I haven't touched on that yet today. Steve Cishek's coming up at 6:30, but that should be an improved entity too, I would think. Although Colome was phenomenal last year at the back end, not sure if he can quite duplicate that, but maybe he can.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the bullpen got a little deeper as well. You know, when you bring up a guy like Cishek who is used to 80 games a year, maybe now he's going to only have to do 60, so he could probably pitch in every single game that we have on the schedule here. But another year of Aaron Bummer, another year more of Evan Marshall. I'm not exactly sure what the situation is going to be with guys like Jace Fry and Ian Hamilton if they're going to figure into the equation. But you know, now you've got Carlos Rodon as well, because if they go with a six-man rotation, you expect him probably to be in that rotation. If not, I would think that he'd be that great swing opportunity, swing guy to give you some length out of the bullpen, maybe even give you some short innings. He's got great stuff. And that's one of the benefits of this season starting when it did, because Rodon would not have been available if this season started in April. So there's a lot to like about that pen too. I'm curious to see what Herrera is going to do, bouncing back from a rather tough year last year with injuries and ineffectiveness as well. So hopefully he's going to be a lot better this year than he was last. And since you brought it up, yes, I did acquire a four-legged five-star athlete today. By the name of Otis, and Otis is a cute little 10-week-old pup that is now gracing the household and livening things up a little bit. He's a ball of energy, and we're happy to have him around. Otis is he's a blue chipper. We had to go through a lot to recruit him, and a lot of that bureaucratic red tape. But we got it. We got our guy.
Did you say 10 month or 10 year?
Ten week.
Okay.
And
is Otis named after 55 or Redding or who we got? Or is it just you like the name?
I'm going to leave that up to the imagination. I've heard everything from Otis Day and the Knights to Otis Wilson to, take your pick, Rolf.
I might have to dial up a little. Perfect. Maybe we'll go a little old school just for me. Orlando Woolridge, the Big O. That's actually the Big O would be Oscar Robertson. So now you got a lot out, which is not an Otis. Neither is Orlando or an Otis. But I'm just thinking O works for me on some level. Congratulations on the purchase. You're gonna have a lot of fun with having an animal around, Andy. I'm jealous. So
yeah, I know you're sitting for one, right?
I was sitting for Luna the dog. We had to give Luna back to my brother. So it was a very emotional night in the Carmen household last night because we love Luna. Hey, Andy, thanks for jumping on. Have a ton of fun tomorrow night, and of course we'll be seeing you all season long.
Sounds good. Thanks, Carm.
Andy Mazur, voice of your Chicago White Sox on the radio here at 720 WGN. White Sox emails bring the ballpark to you with the latest videos, breaking team news, special offers, and more. Register for free today at whitesox.com/email. And don't miss a minute of White Sox baseball past and present on the official White Sox YouTube channel. From exclusive game day footage to historic moments, we've got it all. You can subscribe today at youtube.com/White Sox. We're going to hear a little bit from Nick Madrigal coming on back here as he met with reporters. I actually have not heard that because it was right before the show, but since Merck said it was so impressive, I want to hear young Madrigal. And then coming up after 6 o'clock, we'll have Dylan Cease with you, followed by Steve Cishek. White Sox Weekly till 7 on 720 WGN. White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. Excited to hear from Dylan Cease coming up at the top of the hour, followed by Steve Cishek. Stay up to date, by the way, on all things White Sox by following the team's official social media accounts. Don't miss a minute of the action on and off the field. Follow the @WhiteSox on social today. And we're going to hear from Nick Madrigal, who was on the Zoom call with the reporters. We'll play a little snippet of that coming up here. And then we'll get a bit of Carlos Rodon as well. This portion of White Sox Weekly sponsored by Mazda of Orland Park and ZoomZoomNation.com, where they're always trying to make your car shopping fun. All right, let's hear a little Nick Madrigal meeting the media just a little bit ago.
Yeah, I think it was either Joe McEwing or Ricky who said that they saw a difference in you from even spring training to the summer camp. Can you talk about just how you feel different during the, in that 3.5 month time span?
Yeah, I had a lot of time to kind of evaluate how I was playing in spring training and just kind of slow things down. I feel like in spring training, I feel like I was, not pressing, but I feel like I just not as comfortable as I am now. For whatever reason, just things weren't kind of bouncing my way in spring training. But this time around, I feel like I'm more relaxed and kind of just enjoying the ride more, more so trying to, trying to force the results. I feel like even with the guys here, I feel like I've gotten closer to, and that's helped my on the field play, just being more comfortable with them. And but I feel really good this time around.
Do you feel like you're trying to prove too much everything you were doing in spring training? Was that part of it?
I think maybe a little bit. Yeah. I've always wanted to, show everyone, what kind of player I am. Usually that doesn't work the best for me on the field. Like I said, this time around, I'm kind of just more enjoying it more, and it's starting to show more on the field.
James Fegan, next.
Hey, Nick, when we talked to Frank Menachino, he said that he felt like your bat path was cleaner this month than it maybe even was in March. What did you kind of put into improve that, and what benefits have you been seeing over these past few weeks?
So one of the big things in spring training, I was kind of messing around with different weights in my bats, and I swung a little bit heavier bat in the first spring training, and it's something I was just kind of testing out. But At the end of the day, I didn't really feel comfortable with it. Towards the end of the first spring training, I started going back to my my lighter bat, and I felt a little bit better. And then this time around, I went lighter than the first spring training. So I think that has something to do with it. I also think that I kind of just got back to my roots and not try to do too much like I was talking about, and just kind of, you know, not trying to hit the home run or trying to get too big, just kind of staying with my strengths. And I think it's a combination of all those things.
Is this the weight that you've been using for years now that you're currently using?
So I've always swung at 33-30. This year, right now, I'm swinging at 33-30 1/4. So it's a little bit heavier than years past, but it's a lot closer than the first spring training, what I'm using now.
Where's Levine?
Hi, Nick. Taking it a step further, you said that the metrics people and the coaching staff said, you know, it's great that you make contact, but you have to make harder contact. How is that working out? And was that overestimating? I mean, you can't have everything. I mean, you've always been a contact guy. Don't you think that hitting the ball harder is going to come with a little bit of maturity and a little bit of strength as you get older?
I do, yeah. I mean, I've talked to even older guys, and they've all told me that, you know, they're not really worried about, you know, me hitting for a ton of power right now. I've heard many stories where guys say that, you know, they haven't, you know, gained the power till later in the career, a couple years into the show. So that's something I've, you know, really not worried about a whole lot. You know, maybe in the first spring training, that was kind of on my mind, kind of trying to do too much, like I said. But I feel like at the end of the day, if I'm getting on base, no matter if it's soft or hard or whatever it looks like, I mean, as long as I'm getting the job done, you know, I'm not going to be too worried about it.
Vinny Duber, next.
Hey, Nick, I know, you know, whether it was back in March or coming up here, you know, you've said that where you're going to be on opening day is out of your control and everything, but kind of expecting and then hearing officially that there would be no minor league season, how did that kind of impact what was going through your head here at summer camp?
You know, I like I said, I mean, it was a lot of time I had to, you kind of evaluate things from the first spring training. And you know, I was just happy to get things going again. You know, I know a lot of people were trying to figure out if there was even going to be a season. To be honest, I tried to stay as ready as I could. I never really, you know, took my foot off the gas in that time period, mentally and physically. But yeah, just coming into it, you know, whatever is going to happen, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, I always say it, but it is out of my control. You know, I really do want to be a part of this team from the start. I feel like, you know, I deserve it, but I mean, you know, like I said, it's kind of in the hands of, you know, the bosses and the coaches and whatever works for them. But like I said, I mean, I've never wanted something so much in my life just to be a part of this team right now. And I feel like I can help this team win on the field. And I don't know, it should come out in the next couple of days. And, you know, I'm excited to see what they say.
There we go. Nick Madrigal meeting the media just a little bit earlier today. The White Sox getting ready for an intra-squad game tonight. And then the Cubs at Wrigley tomorrow, followed by the Cubs at Guaranteed Rate Field on Monday. I think, look, he is not going to go about his business any different than if there's a minor league season or not a minor league season. He's been wanting to play at the big league level since last year. And he started at high A last year and moved up three levels. And he thought in spring training last year, Nick Madrigal thought that he was ready. That seems a little bit tall, but you got to love the confidence. And the power thing, like whether that's going to come along or not, he's not going to be a power guy. He's just not, which is totally fine. Top of the order, guy that gets on base, sets the stage, a little old school. I'm all here for it. You don't need to, you know, be swinging some big heavy bat and hitting 20 bombs. That'd be sweet, but I don't think it's necessary. He's going to play, I think, a very, very solid second base. And he's going to be a guy that, if he can max out, I think, his offensive capabilities, he'll be a consistent guy at the top of the order. Or if it goes the other way, then he'll be a guy at the bottom of the order who gives you great defense. But if I had to bet on what Nick Madrigal is going to be, he's going to be in that one or two slot, and he's going to cause a lot of problems. He's going to steal some bases for you. And I bet the narrative will at some point will switch, like, you know what? The old school leadoff guy is back, and the White Sox have one in Nick Madrigal. See your future, be your future. Carm told you on White Sox Weekly that article will be written somewhere by somebody, maybe Scott Merkin, MLB.com, who was on the show earlier today. The White Sox have the quintessential leadoff hitter, and that's why they're one of the best teams in baseball. Dateline 2021 at some point. All right, news coming up here, and then Dylan C., 720 WGN.
At the wall, the 380, gone! A three-run homer for Tim Anderson. 3-1 White Sox.
Back to White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.
6:09 White Sox Weekly till 7, then Sports Central coming along when Kevin Powell will join me, but somehow he's snuck into the studio and he's here right now. What's up, KP?
I completely mixed up the schedule. I thought I started at 6 with the Carm. I come in, you say, no, White Sox Weekly is still going. We're, you know, I'm not completely dialed in on our new programming schedule with baseball starting again. I apologize. I don't know if I'm early or late.
You're actually right on time, okay, and you're perfect. And Dylan Cease is going to be coming up here for those who are excited for Cease in 7 minutes. So we'll get to that, which gives me an opportunity. And by the way, 312-981-7200. KP, what are you most excited about 2020 version of your Chicago White Sox?
I realize this is kind of just the stock answer, I think, for a lot of White Sox fans.
Luis Robert. Everybody says Luis Robert.
Luis Robert. You hear other players talking about him, and they sound like they're almost just fans of him. Like, if you're talking to a White Sox fan who's super pumped about it. I'm just super excited about everything White Sox at this point. I mean, like, can Tim Anderson replicate what he did last year? How great can Yoan Moncada be? Can Lucas Giolito replicate what he did last season? What can Dylan Cease do after the filth he was throwing the other day? I mean, that was like wiffle ball stuff. He looks locked in. I mean, there's just so many reasons to be excited. You have a DH in Edwin Encarnacion that can actually hit. You have a pair of catchers, one of them who might be the best in baseball. The list goes on. How many? Eloy Jimenez. I mean, it's an endless amount of excitement.
51 wins and 9 losses, my friend. I think last week, my first prediction on the year was that the White Sox would finish 6-2 and we'd play 8 games of baseball. So let's just assume that I'm wrong about that and we're going to make it through the season. I will be extremely disappointed if they are not, at bare minimum, an over 500 club.
Yeah, it's interesting because Vegas, you know, we always talk about how dialed in Vegas is. They almost nail, like, you know, lines, odds, whatever it may be.
What
all
is it,
the
25
time.
And a half? What is it?
No, I think it's higher than that. I think they're like 33 or so.
I'll get up
or
to 33.
Like, I think it's like between, it depends on what you look. Like 30, 31, 32, 30. But my point is that if you look at all the win totals that Vegas is projecting, 80% of the league is kind of around the same number. The Yankees and the Dodgers have the highest win total projections. We're talking wins over under in Vegas. And then there are a couple teams at the bottom that Vegas is kind of completely, you know, like you have like the Orioles, Royals, teams like that. But for the most part, if you look top to bottom, most of the teams are around the same win total that Vegas is predicting. To me, that tells me that this season is just so up in the air. We don't know what it's going to look like. You got them there? Did you pull them
up?
Yeah,
I pulled them up. So the Dodgers are at 38. Mm-hmm. The Braves are at 33.5. The Nationals, 33. The Cubs are at 32.5, which seems, I would say, that's very high. No bullpen. Reds, 31.5. Mets, 31.5. Phillies, 31.5. Cardinals, 31.5. Diamondbacks, 31. Brewers, 30.5. This is all I'm going as I'm ripping through the National League. Then you go over to the American League. The Yankees are tops in the American League at 37.5. The Astros at 35. I'm kind of bothered by the fact that there's no fans to boo the Astros this year. The Twins, the White Sox, in theory, biggest competition. The Central's at 34. The Rays at 34. The Athletics, 32.5. The Indians at 32.5. And then there are the White Sox, 31.5, along with the Boston Red Sox. So expected to be one game behind Cleveland for third place in the AL Central if Vegas has it right.
Right. That's my point. I mean, look how many teams are within a game or two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If this is a 162-game season, you have win discrepancies top to bottom that could be 30, 40 games, right? I mean, a team that's going to win in the 60s or 70s compared to a team that's going to win close to 100. Here, we're talking about two, three games separating a large chunk of Major League Baseball. My point is that this season is just, we have no idea what it's going to look like. And absolutely none.
And Vegas always knows. So the White Sox are either going to win 31 or 32 games because somehow, some way, they always are right. Hey, let's get to our guy Dylan Cease coming on back here. White Sox, I'm thinking he'll be the third starter this year. That makes sense with Giolito and Keuchel at the top. We agree with that, third starter, Dylan Cease?
Yeah.
Why not, right? Sure. Why not Rodon, and then we'll figure out how that goes with Gio and Rodon, and Ronaldo's got to, I guess, be fourth. So
it doesn't really matter at this point what the rotation is going to be, because who knows how they're going to stack these guys up when the season moves on.
That's a whole other thing, too. I mean, they might pitch two starters in one day. We'll see how Ricky wants to go about it. Dylan Cease next, White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. It's 720 WGN. Dylan Cease is going to win 20 games this year. Okay, that's not going to happen. It's a 60-game season. But if it was 162, you would, Dylan. So how are you feeling coming into this? Crazy times, right?
Yeah, I feel great. I feel ready to get started.
What has been the biggest challenge for you just keeping yourself, I guess, in pitching shape and also in good mental shape with the pandemic?
Yeah, I think mentally for sure is the biggest challenge, just not knowing, you know, not knowing how much to throw, how to prepare when you have an open-ended, you know, start date. You know, just staying motivated over that couple months of not knowing what was going to happen was tough. But, you know, right now we're so close that, you know, it's we're ready to go.
How often, you know, were you throwing, if we, you know, go all the way back to after spring training number one, you know, ended, and where did you go, Dylan? Were you at home? How did that all go down?
I was in Kennesaw, Georgia, and so I had a stretch of probably about a month at home where I didn't get off a mound, but I was just throwing on the sidewalk with my brother. And then I was able to get off a mound about twice a week throughout most of the break.
And how many pitches were you throwing? Like, how would you do it? Like, hey, I'm just going to go until I feel fatigued, or were you monitoring it? How does a professional on your level kind of determine that?
So on Tuesdays, I would throw pretty much like what I would consider my bullpen for my game. Like, so my day two, just practice for my game on day five. And then on Friday or Saturday, I would end up throwing like a simulated bullpen where I'd pretty much be max effort and I'd get up and down two or three times.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's kind of weird to even have this question or just the thought of it, but like if this was a normal July, whatever it is, like do you feel like you're sort of in mid-season form or like to that level of fatigue, or do you feel like this is opening day?
No, I think my body's still going to have to get used to, you know, more intensity because you can't really simulate, even when you're doing inter squads, it's not the same as facing, you know, another team for a major league game. So I think there's still going to be a little bit of the body needing to get ready to throw with that much intensity. But other than that, like stuff wise and execution wise, I feel like I'm, where I need to be.
I was wondering about that from the intra-squad part. Like, there's got to be part of you that's like, see, you're my teammate, and yes, by the way, if I faced you in a game, you'd have no chance. Like, that's got to be fun, right?
Yeah, I mean, I never, you know, would think that about my teammates, but it definitely can be fun, and especially facing your friends, get bragging rights.
Right? Anybody talking, a little chirping going on over there?
No. You know, yesterday was a good outing to where there wasn't much room for it, I think.
Yeah, I got to tell, I mean, from my vantage point watching, Dylan, it looks like your stuff is as good as it's ever been. Is that fair?
Yeah, I'd agree. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So you've definitely been doing something right here. How are you looking at the jump from 2019 to 2020 for you? What's outside of, you know, I guess throwing more strikes, going deeper in a ball game, what are some of the things you're trying to pinpoint, which you know are focusing on?
Big thing is not having the fastball cut as much, throwing a changeup for strikes, and then you know, if I can do what I did with my off-speed last night, it's going to be a good year, I think. You know, I felt like last year I performed almost as poorly as I could. So this year it's got to be a step up.
So that's interesting. Your assessment of last year is that you were basically at the low end of whatever your expectations are for your performance. Like,
yes, definitely.
How would, can you underline that a little bit? Like, what was the most disappointing part?
Most disappointing was just not having good command. I felt like my stuff, I fixed it a little bit in September. It got better. But for most of the year, it was just one of those years where it was like a, you know, it was like a grind and a fight where I felt like I was, you know, trying to find it every day and searching for it. Whereas, you know, right now I feel like I don't even have to think about it. I'm just throwing and trying to be as nasty as I can be.
Do you think that's just the natural progression of last year jumping into the big leagues and you're going to have to get comfortable? I mean, you basically can point to, I don't know, 85% of all pitchers who went through that. Is that how you're looking at it?
Yeah, I think it really just comes down to are you executing pitches or not? And last year I didn't execute pitches, and, you know, the big league hitters are going to make you pay for that.
Yeah. Did you get with Lucas at all to discuss his progression as well? I know you guys obviously have – you know, your teammates, the relationship and whatnot, but was anything different this offseason, kind of, you know, I don't know, strategizing-wise?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely talk about, you know, mechanical stuff and all that. I picked his brain throughout the year last year because he pretty much went through, you know, went through what I was going through, so he was a good resource.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting combination, the two of you, Dylan. I feel like you both are operating on a similar brain path. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. It's always interesting to talk to you guys, and I appreciate you doing this. By the way, how are you looking at? I don't know, this crazy 60 game season. What's possible for the team?
Yeah, I feel great about it. I feel really optimistic. This lineup has, you know, more depth than any team I've ever been on. You know, the pitching staff has a ton of potential. It's just, you know, do we play up to our potential or do we don't, is really what it comes down to. You know, we've got playoff talent for sure. So right now I feel really optimistic.
And this is maybe more of a media narrative than a player, but the way I see it, Dylan, you guys basically have nothing to lose. It's either, okay, it's a weird 60-game season and you're still young and it's sort of a developmental year, or you go out and you shock, I don't know, shock, maybe shock's too strong, but you go out and you make the playoffs and then people are like, whoa, the White Sox are ahead of schedule.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's really, you know, it's going to be a sprint. If we can get hot early, you know, we've got a chance. There's really, you know, I don't want to sit here and, you know, say we have to do it, we have to do this or that, but I mean, with the talent level we have, we need to be either closer or in it, you know.
Yeah. What do you mean by that?
I mean, so our lineup, for one, you know, I feel like really we've got no holes in there, and then our bullpen is nasty and our starting rotation is good, you know. That's a combination for the playoffs if you put it all together.
Okay, so you're saying like the floor is that you guys are going to be close. And
yeah, I think so. I don't see why not. But obviously, there's a lot of factors. It's a 60 game sprint. There's things we can't control. But if we play to our ability, we have to be close at the very least.
That's how I see it. I'm like, I see a team that's loaded over there. So, yeah. You know, fingers crossed that it goes that way for you. Have you talked to Michael Kopech at all? I'm assuming not, but, you know, how that's obviously you've got some care for your teammate going on right now.
Yeah. You know, I completely understand his decision. I'll definitely be in touch with him and, you know, if he needs anything or anything like that, but, you know, I completely understand it. And it's sad for me because he's so nasty. I don't get to watch him this year, which is unfortunate, but you know, I think he'll come back as strong as ever next year.
Did you have to kind of go back and forth yourself of whether you wanted to play?
I didn't know.
Yeah. It's all individual circumstances, right? I mean,
yeah, it's, you know, he's married. He's got other things going on that I don't, that, you know, for me, it's, I'm willing to risk it, but you know, it's different situation for everybody.
Anybody in your family try to talk you out of it?
No.
That's go family. You got to support.
They like watching. They like watching baseball too much.
Well, there you go. It's not just about the Sun. It's about their own personal interests, right there.
Oh, definitely.
So, just a couple more, and then we'll let you go. And I appreciate the time again. But who would you say has been the toughest White Sox player for you to face?
Oh, Romine, for sure. That guy's hitting like 700 off me right now.
What is it about him? I don't know.
veteran hitter? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. When you look at Luis Robert hitting a home run while falling down.
That was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
Have you ever seen anybody do that before?
No. I mean, I don't know if it's ever been done.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if it's been done either, I guess. Do you ever check out his Instagram?
I don't know if I follow him. Do I need to check it out?
He's out there. I find him very entertaining, and I kind of sort of worry, like, are you putting too much pressure on yourself? Cause he's got some confidence flowing there, but I think that's sweet that look, he's just enjoying his life and, having some fun playing the game. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, with someone as hyped as that, I don't know how you wouldn't put that much pressure on yourself. But at the end of the day, I think he's going to have a really strong support structure here. He's going to be told, hey, you don't have to do anything more than what you do. You're talented. You're going to be a great player. Just relax and do what you're capable, you know?
Yeah. Last two here. Leader of the pitching staff right now, who would you say, if there is one? Yeah.
I think it's tough because you got Keuchel and Gio, who have been here in our veteran presence, and Gio as in Gio Gonzalez, and you got Giolito, who was an All-Star last year. So, I mean, definitely those three. It's not me, I can tell you that.
Yeah, Dallas coming over, that can be a big deal, right? The guy who's been in the in the wars, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's already helped me out for sure.
Yeah. And so, who outside of the staff, who in the clubhouse right now is maybe, I don't know, the loudest slash maybe holding guys accountable at the same time? Maybe it's not the loudest. Maybe it's more of a Jose Abreu that you'd say. I don't know. Where would you go?
I always think McCann holds guys accountable really well. He's definitely got that captain mentality and that captain vibe. I think for the most part, we're all holding ourselves accountable is what it feels like.
White Sox 2020 and beyond. Let's go.
Yep.
Dylan, have a ton of fun this year. Stay safe and all that, and I appreciate you being on today, and look forward to watching you come next week, I guess. Yes, sweet.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep, 720 WGN. That's my guy, Dylan Cease. And, yes, the White Sox Charities. So, how smart, before I get into this, am I the only one who just listens to Dylan Cease and thinks that not only can he pitch for the White Sox, but probably could do your taxes and maybe figure out how to put a rocket ship on the moon / Jupiter, KP?
Calculated answers from Dylan Cease.
Man is...
No messing around.
He's way too smart to be an athlete. Although I think we should do remember the $64,000... pyramid question thingy that they used to do way back in the day before you were born? Yeah, no chance.
No.
I whatever. Put him on Jeopardy. Cease versus Giolito.
Love it.
Throw Rick Hahn in there.
They got some really smart guys on this ball club, Carm.
I mean, these dudes are serious. A White Sox charity Sox car raffle is backed by popular demand. It starts July the 24th. You can enter to win a White Sox-themed Mazda CX-30. That's courtesy of Mazda of Orland Park. New this season, the car was designed by a White Sox fan. Visit whitesox.com/soxcar for more information. That's valid for Illinois residents only. And White Sox emails bring the ballpark to you with the latest videos, breaking team news, special offers, and more. Register for free today at whitesox.com/email. Coming on back with Steve Cishek, White Sox reliever. It's White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN.
WGN, the team's flagship radio station.
You're listening to White Sox Weekly on the home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
It's 720 WGN. Thank you for putting on White Sox Weekly. Baseball within sight. And I think Steve Cishek is going to throw about 40 games out of the 60 this year. Any truth to that rumor, Steve? How are you feeling?
Right now, I feel like I could, but I know when it comes down to that stretch, it might be pushing it a little bit.
There was a little narrative out there that, oh, you know, the Cubs overworked Steve Cishek and that he needed some time off. Would you say that's true or kind of just a media thing that was put out there?
I'd say it's more media. Like, I remember in, I think, 18, I threw, including the one playoff game, 81 appearances. And, yeah, sure, I was pretty tired after that season. Arm was a little tired, but I bounced back fine. I started off, you know, the first half of last season great. You know, it's just, I feel like, you know, this extra time didn't really matter. And the one thing we did that I think kind of hurt me a little bit last year is we kind of took it easy during spring training. Just because I had the workload in 18, and it kind of, I didn't feel right for a while. Even though I did all right in the first half, there were some couple outings that were real inconsistent early on. And so for me, I just like to get like my workload in as much as possible now, so that way during the season I can bounce back quicker.
So that's interesting that you were kind of backed off because you had worked so hard, but you're a guy that needs that feel, right? It's I don't know if it's is that something that you've always felt like throughout your career?
Yeah, I mean, if you watch my delivery, there's knees and elbows flying everywhere. So, I mean, there's a lot going on. And for me, getting feel for my stuff is very important, especially if I'm like, you know, you ride the roller coaster when you're a reliever. You got your highs where you're just everything's flowing great, you're on time. Then you got your lows where it's just like, man, I feel like I'm getting my foot down, my arm is way behind. And so you want to ride those highs as long as you can, but also stay consistent. So for me, getting consistent work is key.
See, I didn't want to play amateur pitching coach, Steven, but I was going to say, well, you've got a kind of a funky motion. It would maybe make sense that you need to be out there just to get into the actual groove of where you want to be. But I appreciate you for naming it. But I don't like when radio guys do that. Like, what the hell do I know?
You guys watch a lot of baseball. You know more than you think.
I appreciate that. Were you surprised that the team that came after you this offseason was the White Sox?
You know, Not so much, because right after the World Series, according to my agent, you know, the White Sox called pretty quick. They were one of the first teams to call just to check in, you know what I mean, not to make an offer. But so when my agent told me that, I'm like, all right, here we go. Like, you know, I know these guys are going to be trying to build a little bit this year. And sure enough, they did. And I was one of the later pieces. So I was happy to be like, yeah, you guys want to make this happen, I'm all about it. You know, you put all these pieces together, I want to be a part of that. So, it wasn't too big of a surprise.
So seeing it from afar, but then seeing it actually up close and now in, I guess, whatever we're calling this, workouts or spring training part two, is it been kind of eye-opening? Like, how much, I know these are your teammates, you're not going to say anything negative here, but it's like, has it been eye-opening just to see, whoa, there really is a lot of talent here? Does it stand out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I noticed it back in the original spring training. It was like, well, you see it on paper, you're like, all right. And then you see, especially like the young talent. Like, I know what the veteran guys can do, but the young talent here is pretty eye-opening. You know, our Luis Robert in center field is an absolute animal. And so I'm really excited to watch him play. You know, I've seen what Eloy can do. You know, I was on the other end of that last year, you know, watching it. It was scary. So, the talent here, you know, is outstanding. So it's really cool to kind of see it all come together. And, you know, I was really disappointed we couldn't already have a season because I was, you know, excited to get the season started and see what we could do. But I'm just glad that we do have these games coming up.
We had Dylan Cease on the show earlier today, and, you know, Luis Robert came up there as well. And he had never seen anybody fall down and hit a home run. You're a little bit more of a veteran than Dylan. Have you seen someone fall down and take it out of the ballpark?
I'm not sure I have, to be quite honest. I've seen guys swing from a knee and hit it out, but not literally fall down flat on the ground and still drive a ball out. I've seen, well, when I was talking about Eloy, a broken bat fly out of the ballpark, which was sort of a rare thing. I think I've only seen Giancarlo Stanton do that back in the minor leagues when I played with him. And so, you know, I mean, Eloy's got some insane pop, so it shouldn't surprise me. But, yeah, it's definitely unique.
You're making me think back to last year, Sox at Wrigley, and of course you were on the other side at that point. But when Eloy hit that home run, Steve, I thought that they were playing on the south side. There was a lot of noise going on there from the White Sox fans.
It was loud. It was loud. And I remember after the game, you know, I was, you know, talking about him, like, dude, that guy just broke his bat and hit that thing out of here. Like, well, what are you going to do? You know, he made a pitch. It just, you know, just went out of the park.
Yeah, that was hey, when you're, I guess, that big and strong, you can do things like that. So let's talk sort of elephant in the room here with the coming back to play in the middle of the pandemic. And you had been somewhat vocal beforehand saying you didn't want to play in a situation where guys were going to be quarantined. But now, you know, you got to take on the travel and all of that. How are you feeling about being out there? And would you say you're, you know, going to the ballpark every day, it feels even close to normal?
Yeah, you know, early on, I said that too because they were talking about our families not coming. For me, that would have been an issue with that, you know, if we were to play 4 months of a season. It's obviously different now. My family's with me. You know, we've been good about being, you know, staying in at our place. And so for me, I actually feel safer now. You know, when I was in Florida, talks started happening where we looked like we were going to start in, like, you know, mid-June or something. So I'm like, well, I got to get, like, not that I wasn't working out at home, I was, but it's a whole nother level when you're able to actually get in a gym and throw with other human beings instead of a net. Like, I got to get going. I got to throw to catcher. Like, we need to get this started. So for, like, 2 months, I was throwing to catchers, facing hitters. I even played in one game before coming out here, and we're not getting tested. It was complete risk. So the fact that, you know, I didn't get it, well, you know, in Florida is a praise, but I was like, if anything we do during this season is going to become way safer than what I was doing just to prepare for the season. So my family and I feel a lot more comfortable actually being out here.
Yeah, it's super interesting. So you've basically felt like you had to take that risk because, look, if we get out there right now and I'm not ready, that's going to be a big time problem.
Yeah, I can hurt my arm. I could, you know, not being prepared, you know, letting the team down, you know, and knowing that I should have been preparing. Obviously I wanted to get the work in to prepare for a season. That's just the way I have to.
Does doing all that work almost feel like a season in itself? Like it almost, you know, yes, it's July and you guys haven't played a game, but you've been working out this much, so it's sort of like mid-July as far as how your arm feels. Or I guess I read something earlier this week that you feel like it's just past spring training, like you're past the dead arm phase.
Yeah, I'm trying to get, you're right, I'm trying to get through that dead arm phase. I went back-to-back early since being here this summer just because I threw low pitch count. I was like, can I get back out there because I want to get that part of the dead arm over with, and we were able to do it. So, yeah, that's a big thing. But, you know, I was going pretty hard in Florida in terms of facing hitters. It was like twice a week, and like I said, I pitched in the game, and that helped me out a ton just from an endurance standpoint. So when I came out here, I threw my first bullpen, live BP. It wasn't a big deal. You know, I was barely sore until I actually pitched in the game. And when you pitch in a game, it's just a whole other level. You can't replicate it. So, of course, I was sore after that. But if I had not trained in Florida, I wouldn't be feeling very good at all. But I feel fresh.
White Sox reliever Steve Cishek with us here for a couple more moments on 720 WGN. It's White Sox Weekly. Anybody on the Cubs you want to face this week?
Whoever steps in the box, you know. You always have this, like, I wouldn't say a grudge, but, you know, a chip on your shoulder when you're facing older teams. You know, it's some of the guys you're friends with and stuff like that, and you don't want your boys to get a hit off you. So, and I almost feel that way in these inner squads. I'm like, I can't let these guys get a hit off me. They're my teammates, and I don't want to hear it in the locker room. So there's that competitive edge that, you know, keeps us going.
I asked Dylan the same thing. It's like, whoa, you know, I see you every day. I definitely want to strike you out. Like, yep. I think that's high motivation, right?
Yeah, I'm going for lumber early, and if I get two strikes, I'm trying to strike them out for sure, Sean. I'm going to try to carry that into the season, no doubt.
Just for those at home who don't understand that, I believe you mean you're trying to break their bats when you say going for lumber?
Yeah. I'm trying to break their bats. Yep.
I got to make sure all our listeners are on board here, and I was also just making sure for myself as well.
I appreciate it.
So I want to, like, little off-the-field stuff here. Is it true that you won't eat lobster and or crab legs, and you have a huge phobia? Is that accurate?
That might be partially true. I like king crab legs now. I don't know what happened, but if I see a crab or a lobster alive around me, I lose it, as if it were like if someone had arachnophobia or something. They're scared of spiders. Like, I'm terrified of lobsters and crabs, and don't ask me why. I think I was just haunted when I was a kid with them.
It sounds to me like you've been eating a Joe Stone crab and realize how delicious it is.
That's a good point. So the first crab leg I had was at Joe Stone Crab, and I was like, you know what? That's actually really good. I don't know why I've been holding out this whole time. And ever since then, I've been eating them.
You do it with the mustard or the butter?
Butter.
Oh, wow. See, okay. I was with you. You got to try the mustard one time. I'm telling you, it's delicious.
Right.
It's a huge winner. Hey, it's awesome what you're doing with Cameo, too. You're trying to raise money, and you're charged. What are you raising money for again, Steve?
No Kid Hungry. Yeah, early on, when I first signed up for Cameo, it was like it had you choose, and I was like, yeah, of course I'd like to support No Kid Hungry. So I wasn't expecting to get a bunch of Cameo requests being a middle relief pitcher, but we did all right. You know, I was able to raise $300, and now, you know, I just actually had a Cameo today. So I'm still raising up. Once I get to another $300, I'll send it in and so on. So, yeah, I'm just going to keep it going.
So go to Cameo, hit up Steve Cishek, give him $20, and it goes to a great cause. I actually think you should charge a couple dollars more, Steve, but hey, you know, you can, I guess, raise it as you go along. It's up to you, but I think you're worth, I'm going to say you're worth at least $35. How's that?
Sounds good. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, okay, last two here. Goals for the season. What are you, anything you wrote down or anything you're thinking about?
Yeah, I don't want to give up a run the entire season.
For real? Is that a real?
I know that's not reality, but I mean, every year I'm like, I'm going to see how far I can go. Some years it's like, oh, I'm doing all right. Other years, like, I give up a run, you know, early. So, no, goals, you know, I'm more of a team guy. If I'm able to moment by moment do my job, that's why I feel like I put our team in the best position to win. You know, going out there, pitch to pitch, focusing, concentrate, and everything else will take care of itself. So it's just trusting in the process is my main goal. From a team standpoint, obviously, it's making those playoffs. You know, I want to be a part of, you know, a White Sox playoff team to be able to push forward and for these young guys to get that experience as well. And, you know, for me to get that experience, I've only had one game in the playoffs, and it was insane amount of pressure, and I loved it. It was fun, and I want other people to – I want my teammates to experience that too. So playoff bound is definitely a goal, and making sure moment to moment I'm locked in, you know, that's a huge goal of mine.
You're going to have to do it on the field, but do you see the team ready to at least push for it?
I mean, of course, yeah. I mean, like we were talking about the talent with the young guys earlier, we got the veteran guys to complement that young talent. So I think, obviously, I believe – you know, we have a shot. Otherwise, I wouldn't be playing the game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think you guys have a great shot at it. Super excited to see it. Last one for you. As you move from the north side to the south side, just the what would you say, I don't know, biggest difference, and I'm sure you have respect for both of them, but playing for Joe and now playing for Ricky, how would you compare and contrast the two?
I mean, yeah, trust me, I got the respect for both of those guys, and I'm getting to know Ricky as well. And you know, they are opposites in terms of you know coaching style. I'm not, you know, Joe's very laid back. You know, he kind of lets the players police themselves, and Ricky does too. But Ricky will come in and, you know, he'll fire us up before, you know, spring training, workouts or a game and stuff like that. Every day we're having a team meeting to communicate. Joe was not about the meetings. Ricky's about, you know, making sure we're focused every day, you know, with the meetings. So yeah, I mean, there's two different styles. You know, I appreciate both sides, of course. And we'll see how the season goes. Right now, I love what Ricky has to say, and it's been fun being a part of it.
Yeah, as a vet, but a new guy, are you vocal in there, Steve?
I mean, yeah, I've always been, I feel like a leader by example type guy. I'm not the most talkative, but if I see something, then I want to talk about it with the guys. You know, I want to pull a guy aside and chat with them, and I just look for opportunities to try to make the guy next to me better on the team, and that's a huge reason why I play this game, is I want to be able to serve my teammates in that way and be the best teammate possible to help them become, you know, a better ball player and, you know, hopefully a better man with other things. So, you know, that's a major reason why I play.
Steve Cishek, you are class act. Great to have you on the South Side. It's going to be a fun season. Stay healthy and tons of success to you, okay?
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me.
720 WGN. So I love Steve Cishek. 2 years on the north side. Now we'll see how long on the south side. 1 year, $6 million deal with an option, which I'm going to bet that Steve Cishek is still here next season. Kevin Paul, you like that prediction?
I like that prediction, Carm. Great interview with Steve Cishek.
Did you listen to any of it? I think you were kind of mesmerized by the boats outside.
I'm mentally preparing for 7 o'clock start, Sports Central.
Big show coming up here, and we're going to start it off with somebody getting married. We'll explain that, and also how much have you missed sports. A bunch of stuff coming up on Sports Central. Before we leave you on White Sox Weekly, though, I want to play a couple Carlos Rodon comments here. Let's see, get KP's reaction here, too. So, here's a guy coming back from injury, wants to be in the starting rotation, and yes, I think he feels very good about the fact that there is some serious talent around him in the lineup. So here we go, Ben. Let's get Carlos Rodon on looking at that lineup and the potential for the White Sox have. The White Sox do have to put up a lot of runs.
Yeah, this is a pretty potent lineup, as you can see. It's not an easy one to face. It's probably one of our best lineups we've had in a while, and I think it's a lineup that's going to do a lot of damage.
Scott Merkin.
Hey, Carlos. You know, with a week left before the regular season starts, do you have a better idea of where you stand, you know, as a part of the rotation, as someone both, or is that still kind of to be figured out?
Right now I'm preparing as a starter. I just went 4 innings, so I don't see the point of going to the bullpen after you've built up so many pitches. Right now my role is the starter, and that's what I'm going to do.
Drawing a line in the sand, Kevin Powell, a little bit at least.
I mean, I always side on in that direction anyway. Always try to make a guy starter first, right?
Yeah, and look,
he's shown he can do it. He has filthy stuff.
You would think maybe coming off an injury, he in a short season, he might want to, I guess, ease his way into it a little bit for long term, but
let the trainers and doctors and Carlos Rodon's people decide that.
Yes, and he's always been the guy. He's wanted to be the top.
Competitive dude. Wants to be an ace. He's got filthy stuff. He's got top-of-the-rotation type stuff.
I look at it like if Rodon can be, I don't know, 80% of Rodon at his best,
mm-hmm.
It's pretty good.
It's very good. I just think that, and we even touched on this a little bit earlier, we have absolutely no idea what the season's going to look like. I mean, especially down the stretch, like what would prevent Ricky Renteria from, let's just say, like, I don't know, whoever the hot hand is, Lucas Giolito goes 4 innings and Dallas Keuchel goes 4 innings, and then you bring in a closer. Like, those are some scenarios that aren't completely out of the picture here, and it's such a short 60-game season.
Down the stretch, though, it's possible. It's possible. They can do a lot of different things. Here, let's get one more from Carlos. Hey, Carlos, how's that fastball? How's that slider?
I thought slider was sharp. Fastball was decent, close to almost all the way. I think I was like 90 to 95, so it was pretty good. Couple missed pitches here and there. Timmy got a changeup after he laid off the good one, so it was good at bat there. And then Edwin hit the pitch I made up and away, tipped my cap on, and then the next fastball I threw to him, that second at bat, was just a pitch I missed middle. So things that, you know, we can get better at, and good thing these don't count. So
Edwin getting him, Tim Anderson taking him deep. No worries, right?
It seems like every time I log on to Twitter.com, Carm, Luis Robert's trending. And he's trending right now. He hit another homer today with deep center during the White Sox. They have an intra-squad currently going on at Guaranteed Rate Field. I mean, is this the most hyped Chicago? Well, I don't know if I could go with Chicago, because the Cubs have had that whole train of those guys coming up between Bryant, Baez. But for the White Sox, for sure. Have you ever experienced the hype for a White Sox prospect quite like this? I mean, Moncada was big. There was buzz at the ballpark. Kopech's debut was massive. I mean, you had rows deep of people around the dugout watching him warm up.
Kopech's debut, September 2018, which feels like 17 years ago right now, mm-hmm. That was an electric night.
It was.
And
it was a great night.
But, and we're unfortunately not going to get to see any real, like, first time in the box, Luis Robert this year would have been a standing ovation, right?
Fans would have went nuts. I mean, I remember Yoan Moncada's first at-bat when he drew a walk, and the crowd went nuts.
So, I mean, I guess we'll get that, hopefully, at some point, whenever fans can return.
Yeah.
Which, who knows if that'll be 2021 or not. I mean,
It'll be 2021.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I know the White Sox are worried about it. I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf was talking about it. I don't know what 2021 is going to be. I listen, I hope it will be.
Whatever. The point is, Luis Robert.
I mean,
it's just every single day there's buzz around this guy. And it's not just locally Chicago. I mean, I've seen national reporters and news outlets that are, you know, posting stuff about Luis Robert.
Yeah, endless praise. Super, super high expectations. And somebody that's... Merck was on it earlier today, Scott Merck and MLB.com, called him Kelly Leak for you Bad News Bears fans.
Oh, right, yeah.
Who caught literally everything because he was playing with the Bad News Bears. Now, Luis Robert...
Cool dirt bike.
Yeah, great dirt bike, smoking cigarettes at 13 years old, getting all the girls. Kelly Leak, not someone you necessarily want to emulate, but back in the 70s, was, you know, he was the stud.
Right.
So, but I... You know, they don't need him to necessarily do that, but him helping out Eloy and left is not a bad thing.
No, and that's a great point. Again, the guy hasn't played a single big league game yet, but this is baseball and this is what we do about prospects. But I mean, it just...
How many homers for Luis?
I was going to ask you the same question. What do you got?
I got...
What do we think the home run leader is going to be this year, by the way?
I think someone's going to hit 28 home runs.
Aaron Judge?
Somebody's going to get hot and basically hit one every other day.
Bellinger?
Sure. Hey, look, the White Sox have candidates. Yeah. Eloy could be in there, man.
Eloy hit 31 homers in how many games last year? 100 and change?
113, I want to say, like off the top of my head. And, I mean, look, Northside, KB, why not have a big season here?
Yeah.
Why not? But if you look at like 60 games, you know, sample sizes, guys can get that hot for that period of time. Now, can you do it right out of the gate in the middle of a pandemic with no fans in the stands and crazy things going on all around us?
But you are starting in the middle of summer. Guys heat up this time of year.
That's the other part.
I mean, the first couple months, I mean, especially at Wrigley, it feels like the ball doesn't leave Wrigley for the first 2 months of the season.
100% true. All right, Sports Central continues at the top of the hour. Thank you to our guests on White Sox Weekly today, Scott Merkin, Andy Mazur, Dylan Cease, and Steve Cishek, Ben Anderson for producing. Sports Central coming up at 7 o'clock with you till 10 on 720 WGN.